G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 29. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall, Carl Diorio. Well, Joel, we finally escape that bog at Randwick and we get to Hawkesbury, rated a soft five, but the owners and trainers have come out in force to support the move into the provinces. Big fields throughout the day and plenty of top class racing.
Yeah, good meeting at Hawkesbury. It's usually a pretty decent meeting and there's usually some good sized fields, and yeah, this year no exception. There's quaddy legs and even race five too. Race five, very open race, and then into the quaddy and some good black type action. So yeah, really looking forward to the Hawkesbury card. It's obviously, you know, a bit tricky. You just got to find those horses maybe that are looking for the slightly drier ground, or horses, you know, that perhaps have, you know, had those hard, heavy runs. They may be past their best this prep, and you've got to look for the fresh horse. So it is, it does make it for a bit of a tricky program.
And Carl, Morfordville starting to warm up as well, and we're coming up to the first $1 million race ever run in SA next week, and who should be coming to town for it but the Magic Man. So should be quite a memorable Adelaide Carnival coming up.
That's right, and Liam Pryor, who books Joe Moreira's rides on his behalf here, it looks like he's got a full book, so it's going to be certainly more successful than Matthew Poon when he visited to Moonee Valley and he had the second emergency, he had to sweat on just that one ride in the last race. But no, good to see Joe down here, and really good to see South Australia's prize money across the board, $100,000 minimums for the past five weeks of the Carnival. And a little bit surprised we're not seeing as much Victorian participation, but the fields are strong, and a really good vibe out South Australia at the moment.
Yes, well, as Carl mentioned, certainly the prize money solid also this Saturday, and again, owners and trainers have responded. Very big fields, in fact, big fields across the board around the country this weekend. A bit of a challenge to fit them into the 96 pages of Winning Post. We will start, however, at Hawkesbury. And the first of the black type races there is also the first leg of the quaddy. Joel, it is race six, the 2017 Godolphin Crown for fillies and mares over 1,300 metres.
Hoping for a bit better luck for Shillelagh. She's a mare that's been plagued by bad luck in her career. She didn't have much go right through her spring campaign, but she still managed to run a couple of really good races behind the likes of Artistry and Silent Sedition. And she joined Chris Waller this prep, and first up, well, luck eluded her again. She was nearly brought down by a fallen runner, and next two runs on really wet tracks just sort of hasn't been seen to her best. She's had a bit of a freshen, she's trialled nicely, and certainly at her best, she's right in this at a decent price. Got her ahead of Artistry, who's come back in good order this time in. Eight, Daisy Doom, bit of a freshen back in trip. She's very honest, she'll run well. And five, Slightly Sweet, Jason Coyle Yard, going really well at the moment. She's a mare that's always had ability, a bit tricky to catch, but she can be hitting the line late.
Yeah, 10 on top for me as well, Shillelagh. Excuse me. What about 20 to 1?
13s, I saw.
Okay, that's disappointing. Still a decent each-way price, but she'll need luck. She'll get back. She'll be running on Hawkesbury, perhaps not too conducive to the swooping runners and a big field, so there'll be maybe traffic problems for her. That's the only worry, but she's definitely good enough. Her form last spring was excellent. Had excuses this campaign. She started $5 to win at Sandown and finished fourth behind Silent Sedition. She's $15 was Sweet Redemption that day. Sweet Redemption is now much, much shorter in betting, but I don't think the discrepancy should exist between the two. I've got Shillelagh on top from Daisy Doom, who does look the hardest to beat. Really honest efforts this campaign. Third, I've put in Sweet Redemption, and fourth, number two, Artistry, but a good betting race.
Race seven at Hawkesbury on Saturday, second leg of the quaddy, Blacktown Workers Club Hawkesbury Guineas for the three-year-olds over 1,400 metres. At Group 3 level, and yeah, couldn't come up with many fun facts in the way of this race, although Chautauqua is the only horse to have run this race from a double figure barrier, and the males have pretty much dominated, and my old fun fact was that number one, despite the males dominating and number one being the best qualified male, number one had never or hadn't won in the last decade, but number one did win last year, again proving
Spill the Beans, was it?
Spill the Beans it was, yeah, and then went on to, and look, apart from Chautauqua, the winners of this race do tend to go on with it, as Spill the Beans did winning the QTC Cup, yep, and then heading straight to stud. So, what is going to win this year, Joel?
I've gone with number 5, Calander. 1400 is a box he has to tick. He's a promising sort. I thought he was entirely... Yeah, if he had got rolled first up, you could be... You would have sat back and thought, yeah, still a good effort. But he really stuck the neck out and wanted to win. He was wide throughout against older horses. He was well backed. Certainly he was in the race as a horse with more upside than most of his rivals, but never easy to cover a bit of ground against older horses and still sustained the effort to win. As I said, he's got to get 1400. That's the slight query I've got on him, but I've put him on top of one good standing, very talented galloper, stakes winner at 2, at 1200, at 3, at 2000 metres. You would think 1400 fresh would be pretty good for him. 11 prompt response and 12 Rosa Carolina in for fourth as a couple of the fillies with pretty genuine chances.
Yeah, prop response on top for me, number 11. I was impressed by her efforts last spring, and she was an overdue stakes winner at the end of last prep. She resumes with a great effort in the PJ Bell, and last time in the James Carr, I think just found the track way too heavy. So being a little bit forgiving of that performance, 1400 here at Hawkesbury, she'll roll forward, she'll put herself into the race, and she'll be hard to beat under those circumstances. Calander, number 5 into the second for the reasons you outlined, Joel. Yeah, against the older horses, really tough effort that was. For third, I've put in number 12, Rosa Carolina. Now, this horse, this filly's been ridden tough her past two, and she's really improved under those circumstances. So from barrier 9, along with prompt response drawn wide, I think an aggressive ride again from Rosa Carolina may pay dividends. She was really strong at the end of 1400, getting back at Generalissimo at the finish. And for fourth, number 2, Lincoln Blue, the Kiwi visitor, now with Chris Waller, might be better over a mile, but look for him to be quite competitive at his local debut.
Last of the Group 3s at Hawkesbury on Saturday is also the third leg of the quaddy. It is the Race 8, the Livermore Hawkesbury Gold Cup. Over 1,600 metres, Joel.
I've gone with 6 Spectroscope to bounce back after missing out in the Doncaster. Certainly a forgive run, just got way too far back from an outside gate and never really got into the race, which was controlled by his stablemate up on the pace. It's somewhat previous 2 wins. His first 2 runs in this country were excellent, and I think he can bounce back to beat 3 Havana Cooler, the stablemate, first up, blinkers first time. Fresh, I think he'll be competitive over the mile. 5 Fabrizio, pretty plain first up, but he had a big weight, was giving some weight away. Drops to the 56.5 here. He's clearly a gifted on pacer that can bounce back without surprising here. And another of the Godolphin horses, Duke of Valentinmeyer, in for fourth. He's a bit of a heartbreaker, but he was good first up. And down on the lightweight, he can run well with a bit of luck from a wide gate.
Spectroscope on top for me as well, but nowhere near as bullish as I was early this campaign. I'm just worried that staying at the 1600 off the back of that heavy track run in the Doncaster, he might be looking for a touch further. He might be a bit dour. Hopefully that's offset by the barrier. He might just settle a touch closer, but I think he's rock bottom odds at his price at the moment. I've got him ahead of number 4, Vanbrugh, who the last 3 runs over 1600 metres have been at Group 1 level, and they've been solid efforts as well. Been freshened up since that Newcastle Newmarket run, where it was a bit slow away and found the line okay behind Happy Clapper. Won a recent trial, should be in the finish. Third, number 5, Fabrizio, on pacer. Give him something to chase from the inside barrier. And fourth, number 8, Pichero, who may need another run this campaign.
All right, well, that wraps up the Black Type. Carl, both of you boys are in unison about the value bet of the day, and that was, we have discussed, race 6, number 10, Shillelagh. Carl, you can kick us home in the last leg of the quaddy here with your best for the day. That's race 9, the All-State Shop Fitting Benchmark 78 over 1,500, worth $100,000. And it's a horse who's first up from barrier 13 at Hawkesbury, about $11, best of the day.
Yeah, it gets back as well, which is probably goes against all the rules. But he's pretty handy, not the gypsy. Really, the last 2 trials leading into this have been good. Hasn't really been knocked around. First up last campaign was third behind Raw Tudor and No Doubt over the 1400 Warwick Farm. Not a gypsy, I should say. I keep on thinking that he's a mare. Gets back, hits the line really well fresh. Will be better over 2,000 metres later this campaign, but if Kieran McAvoy can ride a bit of a cheeky race from the wide barrier and they are swooping late, another gypsy won't be too far away.
And Joel, your best comes up earlier in the card. It's another of the features. It's the Hawkesbury 4X Gold Rush over 1,100 metres. And, probably more famous for slightly longer distances than 1,100. Number 9, Old North, we resume.
Another horse that's drawn wide first up that'll get back, like Carl's best bet. Yeah, just been really taken by this horse's trials. He's got back, been really keen in running, and gone to the line under a hole. Kieran McAvoy aboard both times. He returns at Gelding. He didn't quite come up in the spring. This time last year, he was winning the Tullock and placing in Hollandale. So he's got plenty of class, and obviously, you know, not going to make a stallion, so they've gelded him. He's come back, and as I said, just on those trials, you look at his form, and 1,100's too short, but on those trials, I reckon he's ready to run a ripping race fresh, so I was happy to make him my best on a tricky card, back him each way.
Alrighty, Caulfield, the venue for Melbourne Racing on Saturday. There are a couple of black type races, and there's solid fields all day, despite the surfeit of racing we have had in Victoria, although Kilmore Thursday off, obviously, but we've had public holidays, we've had Easter, we've had Anzac Day, and we've got the Bull coming up, always big fields there, and plenty of races. But Caulfield, that's held up solidly, and surely the spruik horse of the month so far is in one of these black type races, and that's race 5, number 1, Doubt I'm Dreaming. Joel, we've fallen into it at Winning Post. We've put him on the front. You know, he was the horse of the week in Talking Times when he won, and then since then he's bloody start flown again in various trials and jump outs, and you, of course, were all over him like Kobayashi on a buffalo wing when he debuted. You're probably not quite so keen at $1.40 odd, and strangely enough, Kobayashi's coming up against him here.
Yes, good Quinella. No, look, I did like him first start. He was in the trials report in Best Bets. I didn't have all that much on him. I thought he'd run well. I thought $13 was probably probably over the odds in that race. But geez, he won like a good horse. Didn't expect him to be quite that impressive. But now, you've got to take odds on. But look, on face value, he's the one to beat. He looked pretty good. China Horse Club liked what they saw. They bought into him as a stallion prospect. So yeah, I've got him on top. I thought 5 In Denial could run well off a bit of a break since the Blue Diamond Preludes, which his two runs were pretty good. He trialled against Doubt I'm Dreaming at Cranbourne and was under more pressure. Doubt I'm Dreaming ran past him. In Denial was sort of up on the speed in that trial, maybe just out of his comfort zone a little bit. We saw him get back in those two race day starts. So look, you can certainly improve off of that trial. 7 Easy Beast was heavily spruiked, well backed on debut, and I thought did more than enough. Didn't get the cash if you were on him, but I thought he ran pretty well, and they usually improve off that one run. And 2 El Pasim, who's unbeaten 2 from 2, couldn't have done much more.
It's going to be a fascinating race. Easy Beast and Kobayashi from their wide barriers are going to probably fly forward, set a genuine tempo. You're going to have Seas, Doubt I'm Dreaming, El Pasim try and race handy, and then the sweepers of In Denial and Will's Bid. They all should really get their chance, and I've gone with Will's Bid. I think he's up to Group 1 standard. He might be a JJ Atkins prospect over the mile later this prep. 1200 will be on the shorter side, but he'll get back, he'll be flying home, and if there's any chinks in the armour of the favourite Doubt I'm Dreaming, he'll be the one to pounce. I've got Will's Bid 6 to beat 1 Doubt I'm Dreaming for third. I'll put in 5 In Denial, another swooping top, and number 7 Easy Beast was 15th into 3. Dwayne Dunn felt he didn't ride the horse appropriately, in the sense that better 1,000 metres, just jump and run and let it go. But over the 1,100 metres, he tried to hold it up and save it for one sprint. But I think they'll be just putting the handlebars down from the wide barrier. And under those circumstances, he may stick on a bit better.
The other black type race at Caulfield on Saturday. Oh, sorry, my selections there. 1 Doubt I'm Dreaming, 3 Kobayashi, 4 Seized. And at any old odds, number 10, She's Our Gift. Although we put that in thinking it was just going to keep raining, which it seems to have stopped doing. Race 8 is the other black type race. It is the listed Thoroughbred Club 50th year in 2018 stakes. Better known as anyone?
Thoroughbred Club Cup.
So it was. This was the Thoroughbred Club Cup before.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Was it?
Oh, they love to confuse
it. The anniversary pass.
Anniversary pass,
sorry.
And this is just a listed event, a handicap over 1440, Joel.
Yeah, really interesting race. We see these two ex-WA horses owned by Bob Peters make their debuts for Darren Weir, Star Exhibit and Heart Starter. And I like Heart Starter. He's a horse that can get up and going fresh. He began that spring-summer campaign really well with a couple of good wins, including one over Chocolate Hollick, who's probably one of WA's more promising gallopers. And then they worked him through to the Group 1 level, and he was okay in the railway and probably had enough by the time the Kingston Town came around. Craig Williams to ride, 54.5. I thought he was probably the pick of the two just over this distance. So I've gone his way to beat one, Charmed Harmony. He'll get out and rolling, and it was a good effort last start. He'll be hard to catch. 7 Whistle Babies, really consistent. She's racing well. And 4 Zebulon, very talented. He just obviously has had his share of issues, but wouldn't want to be leaving him out of my quaddie.
Yeah, I didn't have Zebulon on top originally, but I've got him on top. Only reason I promoted him to first is because he's got crooked legs and he's going to get a wet track. So you'd think that a forgiving surface may allow him to produce his best, and 1 kilo off the limit weight in this field, his best would be really good enough to beat these. So got Zebulon on top from Whistle Baby, who backs up. She's honest. She's knocking on the door. From barrier one, she'll sit maybe 3 pairs back and be strong through the line. For third, I've put in number 1, Charmed Harmony, who's the likely leader along with Top Me Up. Now, the rail's out 12 metres at Caulfield on Saturday, so I'd be curious to see if that favours the on-paces. For fourth, I've put in number 6. So I've gone 4, 7, 1, and 6.
4 for me, 2 Zebulon to beat 2 Star Exhibit, 7 Whistle Baby, 5 Heart Starter. My best, earlier in the program, race 4, number 2, Moonlight's Choice. Put the writing on the wall first up, and my value bet, which is no value at all, which is a bit of a pattern with me, is race 2, number 10, back from Sydney, the very talented Anaheim, around about $4.40. At least not favourite this time, at least not odds-on favourite, as my value bets sometimes are. Joel?
Tricky program. I made Wise Hero my best. I think he's a pretty talented horse. I liked his trial at Cranbourne recently over the 990, given a little bit of a hit out late, so I guess that was in with the 1200 first up in mind. So look, 1200 first up, that'd be the slight query, but he's drawn one and should get a pretty good run in transit. A good race, plenty of chances, but I think he's a pretty talented sort that can get through to stakes class. So Wise Hero the best. Heart Starter I made my value, race 8, number 5, and a bit of a roughie, race 7, number 13, Bell Sapphire. Hasn't had much luck in a bit of, you know, a few runs in her career, including a stakes race back in the spring where she just jogged around behind them. I think if she gets a bit of luck at $34, plenty of speed in that race. Miss Vista, and she'll get a bit of company in the lead in that race, so might set it up for a couple of the closers.
Graystreet's my best bet. Race 7, number 10, resumed with a really nice effort behind Miss Vista. Peaked on the run the last 50. She'll be fitter, and I think she can turn the tables on Miss Vista. And the value bet comes up in the last race, Bradman, race 9, number 10. He'll get back, he'll run on. I thought his effort over the mile, 3 starts ago, says that he can run out a strong mile and this sort of company. That was his first run over the 1600 metres in 2.5 years. His recent wet track form is okay. His last start effort at Cranbourne, I thought Mitch Aiken maybe just got a little bit too far back, was caught napping just before the home turn, should have maybe got going a bit earlier, but he was strong through the line. He's maybe looking for this added trip now, deep into his campaign, and at 20-1, I can have something on him each way.
Alrighty, racing on both tracks at Morfordville on Saturday. We love South Australia these days here, and southaustralia.com. Probably a bit of a clue as to where all this money's coming from. Breeders' Stakes will be running the main track, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
The race 1, over 1,200 metres. A Group 3, race 4, the two-year-olds at level weights.
A lot of dual acceptors, I guess, over the weekend, and this race has a lot of them. I've got Will's Bit on top, obviously entered for that listed race in Melbourne, the Redoute's Choice. So I've got it on top from 7 timer weights, 3 Easy Beast and 1 Redcore. As I said earlier, with Will's Bid going well, time of weights, nice effort last time, and Redcore, I thought it was a much improved performance after being galloped the blast start. He's always shown Gregorel something, and he produced a much better effort last time. 2, 7, 3, 1.
Later in the day, we resume the black type in race 6, second leg of the quaddie, with the Holdfast Insurance City of Adelaide handicap, listed 1400 metre.
Again, dual acceptors here. Whistle Baby on top. She's entered for Flemington, ahead of number 6, Mubakia, who is also entered for the same race at Flemington. This race might be a little bit more suitable. Down in the weights, not as much pressure up on the speed. So if they do elect to go there, keep that horse safe. For third, number 1, Kenjawood. That was a real eye catcher in the Victoria handicap from the outside barrier last time. And for fourth, number 8, Sabo Levy. May want slightly further, but it's quite a talented mare. 7, 6, 1, and 8.
Race 7 at Morfordville Parks on Saturday is HC Nitschke Stakes, listed over 1400, this time for the 3-year-olds.
Henry Dwyer's got a lot of good horses running from his stable this weekend. They've all seemed to draw in the car park, and the widest of them is Tantat Beauty. Here in the Nitschke, draws 20 at 20. Comes into 14 after the emergencies, but that's not too much for consolation, I'm sure, the Henry. Two runs this campaign have been encouraging. The last start effort from a wide barrier, got back, hit the line. All they wanted to do was draw a barrier here. They haven't done that, but I think still she's good enough to beat the males. I've got her ahead of 2 Foxhall and 1 Chapel City. They are quite progressive types. Foxhall was good at Oakbank, defying the pattern of the day, while Chapel City will appreciate getting up in distance second up. And then for third, I've put in number 12, Go Go Grace. 13, 2, 1 and 12 in race 7.
And finally, race 8, hashtag See South Australia, Chairman's Stakes. This one is on the main track. Again, it's for 3-year-olds at set weights, but this one's over 20-30 as we build up to the SA Derby.
Yeah, good traditional lead up for the South Australian Derby in a fortnight time. I've gone with number 8, Adato, on top here. Made its debut for Lee and Anthony Friedman, was previously trained by Michael Friedman in Sydney. Debut run was quite good at Sandown, finished third behind Spannerhead. Spannerhead then came out and ran second on Anzac Day behind that emphatic winner. And as I look at Joel, who was that horse that smashed him by 4 lengths? Egg Tart?
Yes.
Egg Tart. So that form line does read strong. It's a Kiwi bred. It's going to get over, bred to get over further. Its New South Wales form is quite decent. I think it measures up here 20 to 1. It's my best roughie of the weekend. From number 9, Netherfield. 4 Screamer and 2 Anaheim, who's obviously entered elsewhere. 8, 9, 4 and 2. So, yeah,
best bet. Netherfield,
yes. Best bet is race 4, number 7. It's Invincible. This is non-pace. A drawn barrier 7 for Jamie Carr. Should press forward. Be hard to overrun over the 1,000 metres, I should say. And that value bet again, race 8, number 8, Adato.
And Eagle Farm, Joel, heading to Eagle Farm, controversially enough. How is the track going to play? There's a good 3 stakes races, but fewer acceptors than we would normally have at Eagle Farm or in Brisbane on a Saturday.
Well, that probably tells you. They had some gallops there earlier in the week and they were getting to the outside and kicking up for dirt and mud, and I don't think it got a favourable report from those that took part in those gallops. So look, we're in the soft 6, soft 7. There's no rain for the next couple of days, so really you'd want to get it back to good, but I just don't see that happening. So it'll be soft 5 probably, and it'll just be interesting to see how it cuts out for those first few races. But a bit disappointing heading into the start of the carnival, that's for sure.
And we kick off with, as far as the black type's concerned, with race 4, Ubet Dalrello Stakes, 1200 for 2-year-olds at level weights.
Well, this race looked to be race in 3, but now could just be race in 2 with Condor Heroes getting a bit of a knock to the leg as they were putting him onto the float to head up there. So that leaves us with Snitzcraft and Ours to Keep as those that dominate the betting. I've got Snitzcraft on top. Had clear excuses, his only failure. He was runner-up in a stakes race on debut and won his other two in good style. Got him ahead of Ours to Keep, who did everything right before disappointing in the Magic Millions. So he returns off a pretty good trial. 11 Italia Bella, really well bred out of that Group 1 winning mare Pear Tart and related to I Am a Star, so she's got plenty of pedigree. I want to keep her safe. And 5 Capital Gain, you can make excuses really. He probably should have won his last two and that'd have him 3 straight wins, so he could be the one that's over the odds as well.
Race 6 at Eagle Farm on Saturday is the second leg of the quaddy, second of the black type races, and a great response to this one. The Elise Galvin Victory Stakes, Group 2, 1200, 200,000, 7 accepted.
Yeah, I think there was 14 or 15 noms, and there was 3 acceptors with about 15 minutes to go.
Two likely scratchings as well, isn't there?
Good Standing is in Sydney. I don't think they've made up their mind yet.
And the start one with D?
No.
Take Down?
No, Tumbler, sorry.
Tumbler, yeah. Well, Tumbler was going to run in the Class 6. Mm. And I guess they've looked at it and gone, where she would have been pretty well placed, having won an open handicap the start before. But I guess they've looked at it and thought, well, 7 runners, Group 2, let's put her in. So I assume now that they're in, she'll probably run. But look, Music Magnate, class runner, going to be hard to beat. I thought Miss Covergirl would run well. Would love to have been 8 runners, you'd get each way betting. She's coming up really good odds, double figures around 13, 14 to 1, and she's a really good fresh mare. She's a Group 1 winner, of course, won the Tats Tiara, so we know she can handle Eagle Farm, this soft surface as it was last year when she won the Tats Tiara. Only missed a place once fresh in 7 goes, and that was last prep when she spent the whole straight looking for a run. So she's trialled really well. Barrier 1 could be a bit of a negative, but I've gone her way at a bit of odds. To beat 1 Takedown, he'll bounce back. He just never went a yard in that heavy first up with the big weight. He's much better suited weight for age and a firmer track. Music Magnate, class runner. He can bounce back and he could easily blow them away without surprising. And Tumbler, mare with a really good turn of foot. This is her toughest test.
Race 7 at Eagle Farm on Saturday. Ascot Green Gunsin Classic for 3-year-olds, again at level weights over 1,600 metres.
Dreams of Plenty, going to be pretty short-priced favourite. Prized Icon was nominated for the race. I would have thought he would have been short-priced favourite had he accepted. But Dreams of Plenty has done everything right this prep. Going to be hard to beat. He worked a little bit at the mile last start and did fight on. I've gone for number 5, Reeling. I think he's a horse with a fair bit of upside once he gets to a mile and beyond, and he gets the mile quickly after only 1 run, so he could just need one more, but he was pretty good fresh, and last prep, as I said, when he got up to a bit of a distance, he really showed some good ability, so I've gone his way, just at a bit of odds, from 1 Dreams of Plenty, 6 Cubis, definitely looking for the mile. He's had the 3 goes this prep, so he should be rock hard fit and ready for it, and 4 Violate, who up from Brent Stanley's Melbourne Yard. A couple of runs in Sydney, just over raced. Probably finds this easier, and at the $10, he could be the one that sort of, could be the surprise packet as well.
All right, well, we didn't get your best or value bets in those black type races. We'll start with your best, race 5, number 3, Billy the Kid.
Yeah, very talented galloper. Always liked him. He did a really good job last prep, winning 2 and placing behind winning Rupert in the other. Recent trial was excellent. 1,300 first up should be ideal for this son of Savabeel. If he's going to measure up to the better Sydney horses when they come along in a few weeks, I think he'll be taking care of this lot. And value bet, well, Trevinda, I thought around $7 or $8 you'd get. Some markets $5.50, a couple of markets $7 or $8. I think that $7 or $8 is more the go. He doesn't win out of turn, the former Victorian. First start for Rob Heathcote, but he trialled really well, and he's well-placed in this Class 6. He's been pretty competitive against some stakes horses in his career and can handle the wet. So whilst he does give weight away, that's why I want $7 or $8, if you can get that, each way.
All right, over in the West, the crews are standing by. They have got their black tracksuits on. They are limbering up, ready to get the chairs and tables from Ascot over to Belmont. But for the time being, we are at Ascot. And I think the owners and trainers are waiting for that to happen too. It's not huge fields, but you'll be paid in Aussie currency if you can get one, Joel.
Certainly will be. I'm going race 5, my best, number 11, Top of the Class from the Michael Lane stable. This trialled quite well prior to debut run at Pinjarra. Willie Pike got the ride on debut, came from last, won impressively. Resumes here, there's a bit of depth to this race. Jared Noski has trialled her twice leading into this. She's trialled well. I think she can measure up. And my value bet, a distant memory, race 3, number 1. She was stakes placed this track and trip back in the summer carnival. They gave her a bit of a break. She's had 3 runs. Run 2 runs back was pretty good. And then last week they dropped her back to 1,000. Just don't think it's suited. I think back to 1,200. And yes, she's got 59, but so does Quilisto, who's the three-year-old filly. That might just stop her, even though she's got plenty of ability. Distant Memory may be at a bit of a price.
All right, earlier in the day, across the Tasman, they are racing in the Waikato at Tarapa, and there's a couple of group races on, John.
Yeah, just a seven-race card, but Group 2 Travis Stakes and the Group 3 Breeders Stakes are the features. Sophia Rosa, I think, worth sticking with in the Travis. She just got a bit too far back over the mile last start. Of course, that was her first run back in New Zealand after coming over here for the Randvet. 2,000 metres is her go now. She should be hard to beat. My best on the card is Terra Feet, race 7, number 10. Scratched from Ellerslie last week on the very heavy track. Very promising galloper. He can win again. And I made Euphoria my value in the Breeders' Stakes. She's come up with a horror gate, race 6, number 9. But this daughter of Rip Van Winkle really looked impressive last prep, winning 2 from 3. And even though she's drawn wide, I think she can be running a good race at odds. The other meeting is Hastings. My best bet is How About Dat, race 8, number 3. One start, one win, and really impressive. And my value is Your Grace, race 1, number 11. First race comes off a ninth on debut, daughter of Redwood. Got back and just the race just passed her by. I thought she was okay late, and blinkers on. Second start, she can improve at odds.
They race for $5 in New Zealand, but some of those horse names are quite good.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're right on top of it there. Now, that takes care of a big Saturday around Australasia, but racing goes on, of course. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, all covered comprehensively in your winning post. And yes, well, I suppose if you're going to the bull, as you are, Carl, or if you are just going to the pub and punting on the bull, you'll need to build a bank, so make sure you pick up your winning post. And Sunday is sees the main feature away from Saturday for the weekend, and that is the Corey's Catering Tamworth Cup Showcase. Race 7 at Tamworth on Sunday, just the 1400 metres, fairly short for a country cup, worth 100,000 though. Joel, do you remember any thoughts that you may have had about this race?
Mischievous Devil.
It
is entered for Saturday, yeah, which I left it out of my picks, but it's a roughie that I could include, is in race 5. In fact, I picked it for 4th. I didn't leave it out of my picks. I knew I had it in there somewhere. But if he runs in the Tamworth Cup, look, he's an ex-Queensland galloper, and he's been competitive in sort of fringe-listed class at times. He said the two runs in New South Wales have both been good. First up run was wide, and the next run just got too far back and hit the line well. So Mischievous Devil, even if it runs around, as I said, at Hawkesbury, race 5 would be worth having a bit of a look.
All right, that leaves us only to give you our best $20 bet of the weekend. Who did I manage to get rolled last week? Riven, wasn't it? All right.
And you caused the race forward to have second doubts as well behind the barriers, Barks. Did you hear that?
I didn't actually hear it. I was wondering what about how to pronounce it.
Yeah, he was thinking aloud to a nationwide audience on how to actually pronounce the horse. So you put that little seed of doubt.
And how did he end up pronouncing it?
I don't know. He went halfway, didn't he?
Halfway, Ruven.
Ruven!
He's worth the difference.
No, we've got to have a word to him.
The connections have got to come forward. Yeah, they just help us once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, but certainly if it's after the Gilbert and Sullivan character, yes, it is Riven. But I noticed there's a train station on the on the South Morang line in Melbourne called that. They might have named it after that, and that could be like Reservoir, you know, where people just pronounce, or Layla, you know, where they just willfully mispronounce it, and then that's just how it's pronounced. So. Tricky. Who'd be a race caller, eh? Who would be a race caller? I'm going to go, I'm not going to go against Wise Hero, obviously, so I'll have to go with Moonlight's Choice. So that's Caulfield, race 4, number 2 for my $20 bet. Joel?
Hawkesbury, race 4, number 9, Old North.
And I'll go, I'll go with Dardo. Race 8, number 8 in Adelaide, Dardo, each way.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. Carl's off to the bull, but Joel and I will be back to talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.